All right. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And if you will, let's go to John chapter 7, please. Do thank God for the good Sunday school lesson. Zach said last week that Eric preached his lesson in Sunday school. And I said to Zach, "You do it to me all the time." And he did it to me again this morning. So, but I don't care. I'll preach it again. I'm not like Zach. He's a better person than me. Amber, you should have took advantage right there to said amen. But it's kind of like hard to lie in church, ain't it?
She don't like me.
By the way, did everybody notice how straight Amber's hair was? She put a straightener on it. Looks disgusting. Oh, Nat, you might run your home, but you're not running this church. Tell you that secret rebellion is just as bad as that open rebellion. We might as well just clear the air this morning. But Stephanie, you might be the only one right with God because I got to go home with you. Lord have mercy. All right. Look at verse 7. We'll read down to verse 13. "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into the feast, unto the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come." And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, he deceiveth the people." Howbeit that no man spake openly of him, for fear of the Jews. It's an easy thing to see in the hour in which we live. It's not easy to get folks to admit it, but their life screams it. I mean, from where I stand, from where I sit, what I see, it's very plain. But when you start trying to explain this to people or tell somebody about it, you start feeling that kickback and you get them disagreements. But I want you to understand something this morning. The world hates God. They hate him. The world hates. I don't care how religious or what kind of mask they might wear, what facades they might put on. You know, when Jesus dealt with Nicodemus, he began to just pull the mask off of his face because Nicodemus was a good man. Jesus had to start pulling all that stuff off of Nicodemus and get down to the nitty gritty and just reveal to Nicodemus what really was. And as I sit and read the papers or listen to the news on the radio or wherever it may be, and God forbid if I can stand it through depression to listen to it, I have to come to the conclusion that this whole world one more time just hates God. The world hates this Bible, ladies and gentlemen, that we proclaim, this King James Bible. The perfect, inspired Word of God. The world hates this Bible. It hates the church. It hates Bible preachers. The world, they hate Christians that stand on the Word of God. You don't even have to be a Christian. You can be a lost man that knows the Word of God because you was raised under the Word of God. and you can proclaim that word, and they'll hate you as a word proclaimer, whether you're saved or not. They just hate the word of God, the God of the word. They might come at you like they hate you, but when the rubber meets the road, it's Jesus that they really hate. It's the living word. It's the written word. Amen. It's just Him. I bring this to our attention today because never in my life I've seen Satan sow as much hatred and discord in America or in people as I see today. I've never seen anything like it. Now, and we say that quite often, and I say it again this morning because I'm still amazed at the hatred and the discord that's being sown among American brethren. Right? Oh, God help us. Church, I'll be honest with you. I have a lot of help. I have to have a lot of help remembering the driving force that's behind all the hatred. You understand? I mean, when you're out in this world and we get to come to church, you know, 5-6 hours tops a week, and you're out in the world the rest of the time, and you're out on the job, and you hear everything in the world, and you see everything. Mama, sometimes I forget, and I get caught up in the moment, and I have to remember who's behind all this hatred that we're seeing in America today. I have to be reminded. I have to be reminded this is not of God, but it's God's perfect will. And I was telling somebody just the other day, you can almost see how it's setting up for the Antichrist and what it's going to take for him to come out and just kind of get everybody on his side. There's episodes in my life that I actually cave in. I hate to come in here and have a confession session, but I'll be honest with you. There's times in my life where I cave in. I I'm a human being. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. I figure some of the same things y'all go through, I go through. Some of the same things I go through, you must go through. And I'll be honest with you, every once in a while, I cave in after I see so much turmoil and so much discord and so much hate going on in the world. Man, before you know it, I get caught up thinking we need to have us another civil war. And I'd be wanting to grab me a gun and go out there and start killing liberals and separate the conservatives from the liberals. The only problem I have with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'd kill most of the so-called conservatives today because they're bunch of liberals to sell. I can't even get along with them. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I cave. I get caught up in this thing every once in a while. I mean, it overtakes me, and I get to thinking, my God, how good it would be to have that division and separate. Y'all go over there, and we'll go over here. But the ones that go over here with me, I'd find problems with them too. Sure would. They're looking at Bible believers and telling us that we're full of hate. Is that not so? They're looking at people that believes the Bible and says that crowd, they're hateful. They're looking at the people that believe what God had to say. And man, we're critical. We're judgmental. We're condemners. We're jealous. We're haters. We're everything in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll be honest with you, every once in a while, I get tired of it. Sure do. They've taken corrupt Bibles and their apostate preachers and built them churches under a false God. Listen, that loves. Right. And God is love. And God does love. But I tell you, there's some places where God does draw lines. Amen. And there's some things that God does not love. There's some things that God despises. There's things that God rejects. And there's things that God hates. And friend, I want to be on board with God. If God hates it, I want to hate it. Looking at Bible believers telling us that we hate God. They say our Bible's full of hate. They say our preachers have a message of hate. Is that not so? I'm just telling you. I can remember going down there with a tea party. I believe that's who it was. I don't know. I guess it's who it was. But I went down there to Raleigh, to the legislature offices and stuff like that, out there in that big courtyard when Ron Beatty was having this marriage thing rally. And man, we went out there. You know what they called that? They called it a hate rally. Because we were standing for traditional marriages. And I wasn't even standing for a traditional marriage, friend. I was down there standing for a biblical marriage. Amen. The way God said it. That's what I was standing for. I don't know what everybody else was there for, but I was there to proclaim the way God said this thing ought to be done. But you know what they said? They said it was a hate rally. They called us haters, ladies and gentlemen, because we were standing on the Word of God. You know what I think this world calls love? I think they consider love compromise. As long as you go along with, as long as you agree with what I'm doing. Man, that's love, huh? I mean, just kind of just go along, go with the flow, and man, that's love. But they call liberalism love. If you'll just bend and just let it be, friend. Oh, he's a man of love. I mean, if you can paint the little rainbows and tiptoe around the tulips and never offend and never say anything against and never rub the fur the wrong direction, whatever they want to call it. I'm telling you, friend, if you'll just go with them. Oh, he's such a lovely preacher. He's such a lovely neighbor. He's such a lovely person on the job. Right. Liberalism. You know what I think they confuse love for? Lasciviousness. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Where you can have a license to sin, ladies and gentlemen. Is not that the day that we're living in? I'm telling you, man, people think this, Eric, as long as I love him and he loves me, we belong to be together. I'm not trying to pick on politicians, but when you're up in the White House and you have that kind of a platform and you step out on them speakers and you begin to speak for all of America to hear, and Joe Biden steps out there and says, you ought to be able to marry who you love. Friend, I've had dogs that I love. Sure I have. Yeah. Crazy over some of them stinking mutts. I wasn't going to marry them. Right. I love popsicles, Gracie. Say amen. But I'm not going to take them to the marriage ceremony. I'm not going to marry up. Hey, I love chocolate ice cream mixed with milk. Almost make a milkshake. But I'm not going to try to marry a seal test or any pet. I'm not going to try to marry it. No. You ought not be able to marry what you love. I mean, I know people that love their cars. Right. I seen a guy yesterday with a Ferrari, and I covetousness kicked in. Man, this covetousness. No, I mean, it was just a nice charcoal gray Ferrari. I mean, man, sweet. But he had him a tent set. He was washing his car, and he had him a big old tent. I mean, he set this tent up, one of them big old canvas covers, you know, and set it up over his car. So he could, and the thing about it was the sun was coming in from the east, and it was shining straight. And I thought, what's he got to cover on that thing, boy? I mean, it's full sun, man. What's the cover for? But that's pretty good. Lasciviousness. Call that love. It's not separation. They don't look at separation as love. Let me tell you something. Separation is love, ladies and gentlemen. Coming out from among them, that's love. That's loving God. Separation is love. Can I tell you what else is love? Consecration. They hate consecration. They hate consecration. They hate it. You know what else they hate? But you know what is a beautiful picture of love? Holiness, friend. They don't consider holiness love. If you try to walk in holiness, I'll promise you, it's going to offend people. It's going to rub people the wrong way. And if you're not careful, they'll call you a hater. Why are you dealing with this? Because we have to deal with it. We have to hear so much of it. And I just wanted to come in here and maybe throw a couple things out as a reminder. The truth is that they hate God. They hate righteousness. This world hates holiness. Hates holiness. Here's what I think. I think we need to make sure that we love those that hate us. That's where I fall short. And that's what I wanted to come and kind of say to you today. We're to make sure, Eric, that we love those that hate us. Right? We're to love sinners, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to not be in love with this world, but we ought to love those of this whole world. I'll tell you that. The Bible's plain about all that, about us loving our enemies and doing good to them. I want to take time to look at this word hate through the scriptures today. Because we hear so much about hate today. We hear so much about the race card. We hear so much about all. I want to look at it through the scriptures. Let me ask you, Could you imagine, Zach, and you just kept bumping up on this stuff in Sunday school, but could you imagine if CNN was at the temple when Jesus made a whip and drove those money changers out of the temple? I want you to read your Bible and look at it real good sometime. Jesus didn't do that one time. Both those accounts where Jesus drove them out of the temple, that's two totally separate accounts. He didn't just do it once and they put it in both Gospels. No, friend, that was two separate accounts where Jesus got mad and made him a whip and drove them people out. But could you imagine if CNN had been there standing outside? I mean, today they would be. You understand? That's all I'm trying to say. Couldn't you see old Chris Matthews over there with a microphone in his mouth? I mean, in his hand, and the mouth is more fitting. But couldn't you see him sitting over there with a microphone in his hand as some people come running out of the temple? Sir, hey, stop and tell me what happened in there. Couldn't you see it? Man, we was just in there doing our own thing, minding our own business. And here come this maniac. Man, he had a whip. He began to tear over the tables. And he began to beat us. Man, I was scared for my life. I have to run out of there because he went crazy on us. While they're sitting there, listen. While they're sitting there criticizing and mocking and running down Jesus and calling him a hater, I imagine in the back of old Matthew's mind, he'd say, man, that gives me a tingle down my leg. Yeah. Makes my legs kind of tingle. He said, made him tingle when Obama talked.
Yeah.
Well, you kidding me? Be ashamed to admit it. Couldn't you see it, ladies and gentlemen, as Matt Lowry stands there? Boy, I'm telling you, I'm talking about people that's out there pumping hate in the minds of people. They consider us hate. You understand, for some reason, I don't know where I was at. Listen to me. I don't know where I was at. God have mercy. I'm glad I was there because I like getting mad. But I seen two women on TV, one of them talk show things in the morning, them two women. You know what they were doing? They were sitting there making fun of a virtuous woman. They were mocking that stuff, friend. Making fun of, you say, well, I'm talking about in the morning while women are sitting at home and got their televisions on and they're watching and they're listening to this kind of stuff and they're literally making fun and mocking the things of a virtuous woman. They think that it's hateful. They think it's hate and they're teaching that stuff to America. See Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson grabbing a hold of some of them folks going, we'll get us a lawyer. We'll call the NAACP because we're going to sue this guy for tearing the house of God. We're going to sue him for tearing up them tables and beating y'all like that. No, he don't have a right to do that. It's the world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. They're telling us what our rights are and what our rights aren't. I'm going to tell you what your right is. Whatever the Bible says, that's what your right is. I believe in obeying the laws of the land as long as those laws line up with the Word of God. Sure, we were to strive to obey the laws of the land, but when the word of the land goes against the word of God, when it contradicts the word of God, we're to stay true to the word of God no matter what this whole world calls us. And at the same time, Miss Tiffany, I have to try to love them. I have to try to love the Matt Lowrys and the Chris Matthews and the little lesbians and the sodomites. And I have to try to love them and while they're spitting in our face. And you know what Jesus did? He opened not his mouth. I'll tell you, friend, they wrongfully accused him. They cussed him. They spit on him. They ripped his clothes. They done everything in the world to him. And the Bible said, he opened not his mouth. He had his face set to Calvary. See, that's what we ought to do. We ought to have our face set to Calvary. Amen. And hate the sin and love the sinner. God, help us to fall in love one more time with a sinner. Church, if all of what they said in the temple when they come out, if everything they said, he's abusive, he's mean, he's this, he's that. Can I be honest with you? Jesus Christ was 100% right because it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do to walk up in the house of God and say, this is my Father's house. We're not going to turn it into a den of thieves. The house of God will be a house of prayer. You're to come in this place and respect it. You're to thank God for it. You're to take care of it. You're not bringing your sin in here, friend. I like that.
I like that Jesus.
Man. Don't let yourself get solved. If you ain't careful, you'll catch yourself getting solved just so you won't lose a buddy, a so-called friend. You'll compromise in areas of your life just so you don't have to say nothing across the grain. Right. I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to stand up and cross the grain. With love pouring out of our heart. Or two. Don't compromise, friend. If somebody says something wrong, let them know it's wrong. Right. How else they going to know what's right if you don't reprove them? That's what reprove is. It ain't mean. It ain't harsh. It ain't loud. It's soft. It's tender. It's lovely. But it's the right thing to do. Reprove them. Thank God the Holy Ghost came to reprove me. Don't let yourself get soft and compromise right from wrong, wrong from right. I mean, all because you love them, it's still right to stand up for what's right. Sure, you can love people and stand up for what's right. Let me say it like this. I love sinners and desire for all of them to be saved. Man, I'm telling you, I see some of them and they got their music blaring and their hair's flowing and they got beers between their legs and probably just got done smoking a big old fat blunt. And for y'all don't know what that is, that's marijuana in a big old style. And then, listen, friend, I look at them sometimes and I'm telling you, it just drives me crazy. But I go, my God, what a Christian that old boy can be. When you look at them sometimes and the harder they live for the devil and the deeper in sin they are. I tell you, friend, I've seen some hard cases before. I look at them people sometimes and they go, oh, God, what a testimony it would be if that old boy would get saved. Wouldn't it be something if Barack Obama did get born again? Wouldn't it be something if he took the King James Bible and lived by it, walked by it? You know what I believe, church? I believe somebody like him could be saved. Wouldn't it be something if he did? Wouldn't it be something if God's people would get together and reach heaven's throne on the behalf of the President of the United States and call on the name of the Lord and get his attention on that soul until God saved that old wretch? Wouldn't it be something to have a man in that position that loves the Word of God? Wouldn't it be something? I believe this, church. I believe if God's people would get back to where they had, we stood a lot better chance. Right, loving them and praying for them, standing for righteousness, standing against unrighteousness. Amen. And telling them about Jesus every chance we get. Isn't it amazing that we can call our senators every time something goes against us and every time there's a vote for something that we do like or don't like? Wouldn't it be something if we got on the knees and plugged into the glory world and called up our local senator and said, I just want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about Jesus. Well, all them senators get saved, get on fire for God, and revive. Bible sweep through Washington. Wouldn't that be something, friend? You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Might as well start right down there at your house, loving your neighbor. Lost, wretched, vile, hateful, and looks at you and thinks you're a hater. Be good. Wouldn't it be good if all men would get saved? Wouldn't it be a blessing? I mean, man, that's our goal, ain't it? That ought to be our heart's desires to see everybody come to know Jesus. I mean, if it's really so good, why don't we tell anybody? I mean, man, I'm telling you, we ought to let everybody know that we can about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And let them know about Calvary and the love of God. And let them know about eternity. And let them know about this spirit-filled life. And let them know about walking in peace. And let them know about walking in fellowship with the Father. Let them know about having that great joy that God gives us. Wouldn't it be something if we put all that on display one more time? Hey, man, it'd still accuse you of hating because Jesus Christ is the perfect example and they said he was a hater. They hated him, friend. But look at what Jesus done. Greater works than he shall ye do if you just believe. It's his testimony. Same time, I don't want to back up on sin. Steve, I want to see my family saved. I want to see sinners saved. But I don't want to compromise on sin. Right. I don't want to compromise on unrighteousness. I want to stand up for what's right. I'm not saying that I do. I'm not preaching that. I just said in my heart, there's a desire that I want to see sinners saved. And there's another desire there that makes me not want to compromise these biblical standards. I hate it. I hate sin. And I'll be honest with you, I want to continue hating sin, Mike. I don't want to change from that. I want to hate the things that God's hating. I don't want to change. Sure, God don't hate a sinner, but he hates the sin. Lord have mercy. Let's go. Let's look at this word hate. Y'all listened Wednesday night so slow. It took an hour and 25 minutes to get all that. Y'all gonna have to hurry up. Listen quicker. And I thought, boy, we'd be nice and just take it easy today. John 15. John 15. We'll start reading verse 18 and we'll go right on down to verse 25. Try my best not to comment unless God starts. You know what I do when I'm preaching? Just so y'all understand. A lot of times I come in here and I have all the intentions of just kind of talking to you and preaching, whatever you want to call it. But I have my ideas to go down through there and just start talking about something. And if God wants me to go down a vein, if God sits me somewhere, then I just want to stay right there and preach. That's all I do. It ain't real deep. So I look at this and go, well, I just read John 15. But if the Lord jumps out over here somewhere, we might have to stop. I have no intentions of stopping. But verse 18 said, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now let me stop right there and say this. The Jews talk about Jesus Christ, and I might have said this already, but I'm going to say it again because it came to my mind. The Jews talk about Jesus Christ, and here's one of the things they say, that they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe that man riding that ass and barring that, you know, not having a roof over his head. They thought their king would come in, you know, with a gold chariot and the nicest horses and the best of the best. And when this old pauper come in, they said, we'll not have this man rule over us. And so they just kind of reject the idea of Jesus being the Son of God. And they talk about Jesus and know Jesus and he hadn't come yet. The Messiah, he hadn't come yet. You know what Jesus said? If you believe Moses, you believe me. It ain't Jesus they have a problem with, ladies and gentlemen. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's the very beginning. They can't even get on board with what Moses said. They hate the law. They may not know it, but they hate the law. They don't even believe Moses, because if they believe Moses, they believe Jesus. That's right. It's what Jesus said. Well, I lied. Where was I at? Okay, but all things, verse 21, but all things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, then they had not had sin. Ain't that a blessing? But now they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus Christ opened his mouth and removed the cloak. Amen. I'm telling you, boy, thank God. You say, how's that so? Because when Jesus spoke, the lights came on. Amen. I mean, man, here they was in an old dark closet. The lights was out. They were having their own way, doing their own things, living in their sin. And the word of God spoke. And he said, at the entrance of thy word, it giveth light. When Jesus opened his mouth, the lights come on. And a lost and dying world started seeing their sin. Man. And he said, If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. They have no reason to hate Jesus.
Huh? David stepped out there on that battlefield. He said, is there not a cause? Man, is there not a reason? Is there not a purpose? What are we doing here, fellas? Let's stand up. Thank God. Jesus Christ is worthy. Let's fight for him. I mean, man, what he's done, his blessings. I mean, he's brought our people out of the land of Egypt. Man, look at what all. Is there not a purpose? Is there not a cause? Here Jesus said, they hate me without a cause. They have no reason to hate me. The world has no reason to hate Jesus. I mean, listen, church, at what Jesus had done. I mean, what he did for others, he did for them. What he did for you, he did for them. Jesus loves us. He died for us all. No reason to hate him. Look with me in 2 Timothy 3:3. Verse 3 says this. Let's read all three verses. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Then he said, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Do you see the last phrase of verse 3? Despisers of those that are good. You know what this is? This is a sign of the last times. People will hate you for doing good. Despisers of those that are good. I tell you, friend, if you try to follow this Bible, you try to obey God, I promise you there's going to be some people that despises you. Just a reminder today. This is why we're hated. This is why you can't listen to the news without getting about half beside yourself. This is why every time they're trying to pass a law to promote sin in our country, they have to come against us and prove why we're haters and why we're so mean and why we're so judgmental and critical. And because they're despisers of those that are good. That's right. Right. So why do they despise me? Why? Why are they hating on me? Maybe it's because you're doing good. Right. Look at Romans 1:30. Looking at some reprobates now. We'll see what the reprobates do. Romans 1:30 says, backbiters, haters of God, they're despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. I need not say anything about that. That's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. Backbiters, haters of God. Isn't it amazing that what you do get to see in the leaders of our country, when they see each other, they shake each other's hands and act like they're their best friend?
Yeah.
Turn around, them suckers start telling about all that trash. Haters, friend. Haters, backbiters. Hate God. Look with me, if you will, please, at Psalms 83. Just looking at the word hate. Psalms 83. Verse 1 says, keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. Is that not where we're at? Zach, didn't you say this morning that they go, only God's going to judge me. Friend, he is. I'll be honest with you. I know Jesus is God.
But God turned all judgment over to the Son anyway. Let's get that straight right off the bat. Jesus Christ is the one that suffered and died. He's going to be the one that sits on that throne, and he's going to be the one to handle that judgment business. Jesus Christ will. God's going to support him fully 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a day where people have lifted. They're proud of their sin. They're proud of their wicked ways. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean they're so proud, Eric, that they'll march the streets and walk up the steps of the Congress. And I mean, son, they're so proud. They're going to call out the news channels, and they want to parade in front of the whole world to see. Proud of it. They lift up their head. It's where we're at. Look, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people. Wow. Consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Folks, this was attempted on the nation of Israel. And it was, they did a good job. Israel had to eventually come back together as a nation. Can I be honest with you? It's the same thing they're doing with the church today. They're trying to do away with the true church. They're trying to do away with the voice of the true church. They're trying to do away with the word of the truth. They don't want us here. My God. We've pled. We've begged. We've knocked doors. We've give money. Do you understand? We've give money. We've stood out here in this parking lot and give money. And I've give money trying to be a blessing to people and hoping that they would want to come back and see the compassion and the love that we have to want to help them and want to come back and be part of it. I had that one woman that most of you don't know about, and well, most of you do, and a few of you don't. She comes, stood out here and told me her story, and we've heard all them stories before. And I wasn't concerned about her story. Just sometimes it's intriguing to hear what comes next. You know, it's always the saddest stuff in the world, and you never know. Sometimes some of it is really sad. But I stood that woman out there, Johnny, and I said, ma'am, I'm going to give you this money. You've asked us for $60, and we gave her $100. And I said, ma'am, I want you to make me a promise. I also want you to promise me that you'll come back and visit with us and come to church and bring your children. She said, I promise. I said, ma'am, look me in my eyeballs. I said, I want you to promise to Jesus. She said, I promise Jesus I'll bring my kids up here and we'll come to church. Never did she come. I mean, so I understand, just promise unto Jesus, the Son of God. Yeah, I'm coming, and never show up. Didn't do her no good, Eric. And I mean, y'all might have should have handled this better than me. Next time we'll send you out there. But the next time she come asking for money, it wasn't no good. I'll promise you that. I let her know she lied to God and lied to me and everything else about it. And oh. Got a 70-year-old woman in here that was working every day of her life, working hard, and you're 40 years old and you can't work and make a couple dollars. That's God, there's enough cans and stuff on the side of the road to help you buy a Happy Meal. Sure. I got compassion. I got mercy. But I ain't about using the church. They don't want the church. They hate the church. They despise the church. Don't want nothing to do with the church until they get broke and need some money. Mm-hmm. Right. If y'all noticed that when we gave out some money, it seemed like every week or every other week we had people stopping by. When we cut it off, they quit stopping by. Isn't that amazing? The word on the street is that church will give you money. Should have told me, y'all going to see Miss Stephanie. Church, I want you to hear me and hear me well. Most of y'all don't think about it. But I'm going to tell you, there's people out here that absolutely, listen to me. I want you to understand this. You probably don't ever even think about stuff like this. And I'm not having a pity party. I don't have pity parties over this silly junk. There's people that hates me, Michael. There's people that literally hate my guts, hate my existence, hate the thought of me. They despise me. It ain't because I hurt their children. It ain't because I've robbed their homes. It ain't because I've done those things. It's because in the past, in their life, between me and them, I took a stand for righteousness against their unrighteousness. And I tell you something, friend, there's been people that wish to God that my kids would fail. That's right. There's people that hates me so much, Michael, they hope my kids slip off into sin and get eat up with it. I'll be honest with you, there's people that they ain't going to tell you, but they despise you that much too if you live for God. I want you to understand this, church. There's a devil in this old world running to and fro. And he's doing everything in his power to shut the mouth of this church. To stop the existence of this church. You understand that? When I get up tomorrow morning, Mama, listen, I don't even have to get up. I want you to understand this, congregation. You're living for God. You don't even have to wake up for the devil to mess with you. I believe this with all my heart. I believe he'll mess with you in the sun. God, when you get up and you plug in with God, you get up and you sit at the feet of Jesus, when you get up and you start praying and you try to get in the Spirit first thing in the morning, friend, and the devil can't reach you consciously. When you're awake and wide awake and living and breathing and moving in this world and you're walking with God and he can't get to you, listen, when you go to sleep and pillow your head at night and your guards drop, I promise you, when you're subconscious, he'll attack you. Some of the worst, filthiest, vulgarest dreams I've ever had was in the middle of the night and wake up almost in a cold sweat thinking, oh my God, where'd that come from? Where in the name of God did something like that come from? I mean, man, I had to get up and say, God, help me, God, would you clean my mind? I'm just saying, friend, there's an attack from the enemy, and if he could, he would destroy this church. You don't want me out here proclaiming the word? As sorry a preacher as I am, Miss Holly, we're still going to stand on the Word. We still proclaim the Bible. We still read it for what it is. We still don't take man's opinion on it. It's still just the written Word of God. It's the living Word. And friend, I'll tell you, the devil does everything in his power to shut that junk down. Sometimes we just nonchalantly live in this world and we just get up on Sunday morning and we go, I want you to know there's a cost, there's a price that's been paid, there's a battle that's been fought. I promise you, man, the devil has kicked in high gear, knowing that the end is near unto us, and he's doing everything in this world to make a fool out of another Bible believer. Sure he is. I don't want to be far-fetched, but I look at people like Michael sitting back there. What the devil would like to do because of Sarah, Bella, Caitlin, and Isaiah. Huh? Maybe not so much about Michael and Tanya, but if he can ruin them children, let them see that God ain't real in their mom and daddy's life. You don't think he tries that? He does everything in his power to show them children God ain't even real in your mom and daddy's life. God help us, parents. God help us, parents, to stay focused and to realize there's a devil out there and he hates your guts. He hates your existence. He hates the fact that you drive down here and go to church. He hates that you have a King James Bible. He hates that you believe it. He hates that you believe God. He hates that you love God. He hates everything about that. If he could, he'd stop you. You understand? You wouldn't even have made it to church this morning if it hadn't been for the providence of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God looking after you and I, we wouldn't even have been able to crank that car and get here. The devil would have stopped us long before we ever got to this poverty. But thanks be unto God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And while the devil's doing everything in his power to stop you and to hinder you and to destroy you, there's a God working full time in our heart and our life, and that's keeping you going. He's looking after you. He's protecting you. He's shielding you. Thank God he's got angels camped around us and he's taking care of us. Amen. We need to acknowledge that. Amen. Need to acknowledge it. Amen. Man, we didn't just get here this morning because our car didn't stop on us. Your car got here this morning because God touched them cylinders. God touched them tires. God touched. Friend, I tell you, if the devil could have, he would have stopped you from getting to the house of God. It's his desire to shut this thing down. It's his desire for you not to grow in grace. It's his desire for you not to seek another moment after God. I tell you, there's some of us in here that's just seeking after God. Friend, the devil hates the fact that you're seeking after God. He'll do everything in his power. He'll put a power bill in your mind to get you to not seek after God. He'll put a mortgage in your mind to get you to quit seeking after God. He'll put everything in the world. Man, I got to do this. I got to do that. You know what we got to do? We got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He's sitting there at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for us. I tell you, if there's any one thing we better do, we better look unto him and not get our eyes off of Jesus. Right? Not get our eyes off of him. I believe you ought to pay your power bill. I believe you ought to pay your mortgage. I believe a man ought to pay his debts. But I'm glad, thank God, you can do every bit of that with your eyes on Jesus. Amen. You can do every bit of it. Man. Work piled up. Chores piled up. Dishes piled up, ladies. Dirty laundry piled up. I tell you one thing, boy. When Jesus came by, Martha said, "Lord, tell her to help me. I'm telling you, I need some help," and she won't even help me. And Jesus said, "Martha, thou art covered about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that thing." I'm telling you, to sit at the feet of Jesus, ladies, it's one thing to wash the dishes, but it's another thing to wash them in the Spirit. It's one thing to wash them clothes, but it's another thing, thank God, for Jesus to be standing at the wash with you. I'm telling you, it's one thing, thank God, to mow that yard, but it's another thing to mow that yard with Jesus, friend, walking in the fellowship of the Father. Nothing like it. Tell you what, it'll make a difference. And I know this is awful shallow, but I promise you it's literal. The difference is slamming the dishes, letting a few words slide, and bitterness kick in, versus this. Amazing. Boy, I can remember old grandma sitting up there at the kitchen whistling Amazing Grace. Whistling one of them old hymns. Thank God. I seen something real in somebody. Boy, be washing them dishes and be humming a good old gospel song. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about keeping your eyes on Jesus. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, Mama. I don't know what happened in your family. I don't know why most of them are sorry as the devil on their way to hell. I don't know. I'm talking about my uncles and aunts. I'm talking about my own family. Because I had a grandma that loved God. I can tell you one thing, Eric. God let me see something. Hey, the rest of them might die and go to hell, and I hope they don't, but I promise you one thing. God let me see something. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know, boy. You may not win your whole family. You may not win your whole community. But thank God if there's just one that can see Jesus in you. If there's one grandyoungin, one great-grandyoungin, one neighbor, one work partner, just somebody anywhere in your life that can see this Jesus in you. No matter how much this world hates you and the devil hates you, thank God you can have an effect on others around you. You just stay with the Word of God. Right? Stay with the Bible. Stay with the Bible. Stay with the Word of God. The devil, I'm telling you, he hates your pastor. You hear me? Listen to me, church. I want you to understand something. The devil hates your pastor. But I'll be honest with you, it was one thing me and him agree on. We hate each other. I hate him back. Amen. And I like hating him. That's right. I had a Sunday school teacher when I was a kid. Said, "You ain't supposed to hate nobody." I said, "I hate." "No, don't say that. Let me tell you something today. Thank God, I hate that sucker. I hate everything about him. And I enjoy hating him." Amen. Enjoy hating him. I take pleasure in not liking him. I take pleasure in going against his grain. I take pleasure in that. Say, "Preacher, that's hard." Yeah, but when you sit and watch people that you love die and go to hell, when you see people that you love eating out of his hand and you watch their life destroyed, I don't like him. I don't like him. Nothing about him that I like. Never caused them the heartaches and troubles and turmoil and discord and division. I mean, every one of them little old disputes and fights, man, I tell you where hell came from. It came from the devil himself, church. I'm talking about in the home, that man and that woman, man, having problems. That's a work of Satan in our homes. He don't even want your home to go on. You understand? I said the church. As goes the home, so goes the church.
He don't want your home to go on. He wants you and your wife to butt heads. He wants y'all to be at odds. He wants your kids to see something stupid between y'all. He wants them to hear a bunch of chaos and fussing and bickering and griping and... Shows up down here. As it goes at home, so goes his church. I'll be honest with you. I pray. It ain't because you family people's here. But the devil hates places like Black Creek Baptist Church. Sure he does. He hates that place. He hates it. He hates that man of God. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying, we better pray for it. We better pray for that church. Pray for that community. Man, the devil would like nothing more than to ruin every bit of that. I don't know how many people is like that in this world. I don't. But I tell you, man, I go down the list and I begin to ask God, God, would you help this group and help these people? And God, would you touch this preacher? Would you touch his community? Would you help his church? God knows we better get behind each other and pray one for another. Because the devil's out to destroy us. He hates us, ladies and gentlemen. He hates us. Sometimes we seem to forget, let this stuff go. John Ashford's just a sweetheart. He's a good man. Good man. We think highly of Brother John. We think highly of Brother Tim. We think highly of Brother Sandy. We think highly of some of these Brother Travis Clayton. Brother Clayton suffered. Boy, y'all pray for me suffering. Boy, they had to bury a dog this week and he's just down now. I'm serious. He's down. He's on the phone yesterday just to cry. The little dog had to put down. Y'all paid a vet to do that? I could have done that for about 14 cents. Cost me about 14 cents to put a dog down. They got this little pill and it's made out of lead. It works so good. Right. When it goes in their head, Eric, watch me. Their head literally expands. It's amazing what that lead pill will do. Should understand something. Those men I just mentioned didn't walk down Easy Street this week. They didn't walk down Easy Street. I venture to say there's not a day went by. They didn't have some real battles on their hands. Think about a young evangelist like Tim McVeigh. Ain't nobody trying to book Brother McVeigh. Nobody want to hear him preach. About halfway understandable. I don't like half what he says myself. But I love him to death. Love him.
Say, preacher, what are you talking about?
You don't think the devil says, hey, Tim, if you'll just lighten up right here and get you a couple of meetings. I promise you guys. I promise you Tim McVeigh can load up that calendar, ladies and gentlemen, if he would just compromise a little bit. Sure. Hey, Eric, I know for a fact there's meetings he can go to, but because of this thing called separation, he can't go and preach. Because he has to separate himself from that crowd. What crowd? Maybe it's an independent fundamental easy believism crowd. The easy believers fly under the independent fundamental flag. Right.
And because Brother Tim's so hard against this whitewashing, because Brother McVeigh's so hard against, you know, pumping this thing, telling people, pray this prayer, do this, and you're saved. You know what? He preaches hard against it. You know what, Miss Stephanie? He don't even go to the meetings where they practice that stuff and he's invited to come preach. I'm just saying, we better learn how to pray for one another because people go through it. It's amazing. You remember back when the children of Israel made a golden calf? I didn't intend on getting hunkered down, but you remember when the children of Israel made the golden calf? Moses was up on the mountain and Aaron was down there with them and they melted their earrings and they made them a golden calf. You know what them idiots did? They prayed to those strange gods. Little G, they prayed to them. They sat down there and literally began to pray. Do you know on another occasion, Steve, they even said it's... This is the Lord.
They were sitting over there worshiping some idol, some image, some graven image. They was over there praying and worshiping this graven image. Do you understand that they said, this is the Lord? They said, this is the Lord that delivered us out of the land of Egypt. It's amazing that God done all that he done for these people. Then they went over there and made them a false god. Listen, church, that's where we're at today. We have a bunch of false gods. And people going, man, look at what all God's doing for us.
If this ain't what's going on today, I'll be a monkey's uncle. I wanted church today, as they claimed to be calling on the name of the Lord, and they did claim to be calling on the name of the Lord. I wonder how many of them walked away and went, oh, I call on the name of the Lord, I'm saved. Wrong Lord. Wrong Lord. Wrong Lord, friend. They was calling on the name of the Lord, and it was the wrong Lord. But how many of them walked away talking about what God did? I'm going to prove it in just a second. Everybody's got them a Jesus. Even Jesus himself said there'd be many Christ. He said there'd be many. How about this? Our last president took something that was very holy, very godly, something very heavenly, and perverted it. Held his head up high and perverted that which was holy. So what are you talking about? Do you not remember the pictures you seen where he took that rainbow God as round about that throne? He took the colors of that rainbow and shined them on that White House, and he didn't do it because of the promise and the covenant God made with his people. He did it because he was standing up for the sodomy that God so rightly despises. Stand over there with his head held high, promoting sodomy and putting it up on, listen, the nation's capital, ladies and gentlemen, those are our leaders. That's the leaders of our country. And they got the White House of all places lit up like a rainbow flag in support of the sodomy. Do you know what happened? You remember when the Supreme Court went in there and said, yes, it's okay to go against God. Yes, it's okay to do whatever we want to do, whatever's right in our own eyes. And they said it's okay for two men to marry. Do you know what they said the next day? They said, we've been praying. And sodomites, they interviewed somebody, they said, we've been praying for this. We've been praying for this. Do you hear me, friend? I'm telling you, this world has them a golden image. They done got them some kind of little statue, some kind of imaginary god, and they bowed down before him, and they're standing there religious, and they do pray, and they beg their God, God, would you give us what we want? They were so proud to stand out and say, boy, God answered our prayers. Can I tell you something? That's a little G. That's a little G, friend. That wasn't the God of this Bible. That was not the God of the King James Bible, friend. That might have been the God of the NIV. It might have been the God of the ASV. It might have been the God of the RSV. But it was not the God of the written word of God. Because God said, two men shall not lie together. I'm telling you, friend, he said they're worthy of death. God has not compromised his word. God will never go against his word. God will never. Never disdain his word. Never. So what God was he talking about? God answered our prayers. What God? The God of this world. That's right. Prince in the power of the air. Satan answered that prayer for them. Sir, buddy, Satan give them what they want. Those that run with him fulfilled the works of their father. They've been praying for this. God answered our prayers contrary to what Christians say. We're the idiots. We're the fools. We're the haters because God answered their prayers. It's amazing, isn't it? You have to stand by and love them, church. You have to stand by and take it. I don't hate them. My heart weeps for them. You see them slipping off into hell. It's a sad sight. It's a sad thing to see sinners die, go to hell. I'll give you one more and we'll be done. If you read about the harlot in Proverbs 7, the one thing she does with her enticements is she mixes religion with her whoredoms. Have y'all ever seen that? This woman is a spiritual woman. She goes to church. This whore goes to church.
Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs, you're in Psalms. Let's go to Proverbs 7. Let me show you what this woman said. This whorish woman. Look at verse 10, Proverbs 7:10. We'll read down to 14, I guess. Yeah. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. I have to read that because I want you to understand, you can dress like a whore. And he could tell that she was a whore by what she had on. I like that. Thank God the Bible's clear about our clothing. Yes, sir. We're to dress right. And boy, when you start that, woo, you get some hate. She is loud and stubborn. Do you understand that? Whore is loud and stubborn. Loud and stubborn. Boy, I've met some stubborn and loud women. You know what the Bible called her? When that woman's loud and stubborn, you know what the Bible called her? She's good. Figured it out. I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. What about that? Now is she without? Now in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him. She's dead serious, boy. I mean a straight face, son. She can do this with a... She said with an impudent face unto him, I have made peace offerings. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a church thing. Them peace offerings, that's a godly thing. Paying them vows, that was a church thing. She said, hey, buddy, young man, I've done been down there to the church. I've been praying. I've paid my vows. I've done everything God wants me to do. Won't you come on over here and lay with me for a while now? Isn't it amazing, Miss Stephanie? Isn't that amazing? Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about how they disguise their God. God is not for sin, ladies and gentlemen. He's not for sin. He never has condoned sin. He never has approved of sin. God despises sin. He hates sin. He rejects sin. I promise you what you will not do. You will not regard iniquity in your heart and get a prayer to God. All these people in this Bible talking about God heard me, God. Man, listen, you'll not hold iniquity in your heart and God hear you. That's right. God will turn his ear. He'll turn you off. Son, he don't pay that any attention. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Tell you, church, you can't sin and get by. God hates sin and loves a sinner. God hates sin. He despises sin. His son died because, can't you see it as we talked about it? Jesus crossing over that brook out of the Garden of Gethsemane and all that sin staring him in the face. Sickness. The pain, the suffering Jesus undertook. The cost of sin. The wages of sin is death. Show about sin it cost you. This lady had a wicked, wicked heart. She went down there to the church and did her little thing. This is prevalent, ladies and gentlemen, in our country today. This spirit... I'm done. We'll conclude later. This spirit that this woman has, oh, come over to my house, lay with me. I've been to church. We had a good service today. Eric, I'd hate to go through it. It would take me weeks to go through the stuff I've seen in church. People running the aisles and shouting and just having a big time that live like the devil. I mean, live like the devil. No holiness. You wouldn't believe the people I've seen run the aisles that won't even pick up their Bible at home and read it. You wouldn't believe the people I've seen scream and shout at church that won't even pick their Bible up and read it down at the house. The most precious thing that you can have in your home, and it's just a dust collector till Sunday morning. Isn't it amazing? Ladies and gentlemen, this spirit is prevalent in our country. It's prevalent in our nation. It's a Jezebel spirit in it. And it's not just crept in our nation, it's crept in our churches. Right. It's eating our churches alive. That Antichrist spirit, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's crept in, and people can do whatever they want to in the name of Jesus, and they can justify everything that they do in the name of Jesus. I was thinking about it this morning. We might touch it again after lunch, but Zach, you was touching on this morning. I'm going to read you this verse, and I promise you we're done. Don't judge me. There's no condemnation. Don't condemn me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Listen to what your Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. We're not condemning people. Jesus Christ is not condemning people. But that the world through him might be saved. Luke said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's a few reasons why Jesus did come, and it wasn't to condemn people. But listen to what he said. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I don't have to condemn nobody. That's not my job. Jesus Christ will not condemn anybody. That's not his job. People are condemned because they believe not. You're already condemned. Already condemned. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the world don't see. It's what they don't understand. It ain't me and it ain't you. It's the Word of God. It's that light that reveals junk in their life. They wouldn't even have known it had the light not been turned on. And they hate it. Hate it. And they'll hate you for doing it. That's okay. We'll love them anyway. Amen. I'll stop right there. We'll pick up and read a few more verses on hate after lunch. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the good word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd take and help us, Lord, to grow. And help us, God, to stay balanced in our life, dear God. And, Lord, in our minds, our understanding, dear God. Help us to understand what's going on around us, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, as we prepare, God, to eat. I pray that you'd bless this food. Thank you for the ladies that's prepared it. And bless it to our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh.